The recording has started.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, from the National Black Unity News. Welcome to our podcast. And tonight we should have several guests chiming in, but I also, you know, like as usual, we have our regular host on the show with us this evening. That's Brother Satavi Jahi and Brother Andre Hector. And
what's
tonight
going on,
Hey, everybody. And we're going to discuss a lot of things tonight, but one of the main topics that we want to discuss was, as everybody know, there's a lot of demonstrations and things such as that going on, protesting all across this country. And a lot of things happening, you know, locally that I'm kind of personally involved with. And then there, like I say, and there's things happening in North Carolina, and if they chime in, we're going to be discussing these things. But as usual, you know, we like to open up this show with a reading from Brother Satavi Jahi. So, Brother Satavi Jahi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And like I said again, good evening to everybody that's under the sound of my voice. May you find yourself at peace and things working out for you the best way that they can. Tonight's reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, June 22nd, A Few Good Men. Our job is to put man back into manhood. Nathan Goldston, president of 100 Black Men. Reading for the day. If I could offer a single prescription for the survival of America, and particularly of Black America, it would be to restore the family. And if you ask me how to do it, my answer would be to save the boys. So much of what has gone wrong in America, including the frightening growth of poverty-stricken, crime-ridden, and despairing Black underclass, can be traced to the disintegration of the family structure. Everyone knows it, but too many have been reluctant to talk straight about it. We know that children need intact families that include fathers, but we fear to say it lest we appear to be blaming hard-pressed single mothers for the very problems they are struggling to overcome. There's nothing wrong with Black female single parents. Our creator is a single parent, but there's something wrong with the fact that a Black woman is so much more likely to experience the situation. And there's something wrong with glorifying this problem instead of raising up to change it. Millions of children do not know and will never know what it means to have a father, nor do they know anyone who has a father or is a father. If we are to survive, then our families must be restored. And if our families are to be reconstructed, then our young males must step forward. We cannot rescue our families unless we make our minds up to save our boys. What our communities needs, what America needs, is a few good men. I've heard the call, and I will answer the bell. I will give my time to be a father or mother to a Black male. And this is a problem that, you know, that's really plaguing our communities, because, you know, in the 60s, you know, it was like we had, you know, the Black family was pretty much intact. Today, you have, in terms of Black family structure, you got like 80% of Black family structures are headed by single household women. And
that's right.
You know, and that's a no-no. I remember back in the day, person shared a statistic with me, said that, you know, during slavery, you had a greater chance of being born into a family with two parents than you did in modern times. And so, you know, so there's a lot that needs to be dealt with in order to be able to, have an impact on that statistic and have, you know, some bring that to some closure so that we can move forward as a community, because the only way we can move forward is the black man has to be restored to his rightful place. And, you know, if we don't do that, then all else that we want to do is not going to work. So, you know, that's how I wanted to open up the night in terms of, you know, what I wanted to put out there before we get into our dialogue and our discussion is we got to do something to save these boys, because we had, over the weekend, we had a young man who killed his baby's mother, her child, and, you know, and killed her. And, you know, she was carrying his seed, but he had a girlfriend. He didn't want her to be pregnant. But he should have thought about that before, you know, he did what he did. You know, he didn't have to make that baby. You know, he could have avoided that. But he, you know, so he didn't want her. So what happened? He didn't know how to handle that situation. And so, you know, he killed her and killed her child. So they said anyway. Again, I mean, the report hasn't come out totally in terms of he's been charged, but the report hasn't totally come out in terms of, you know, if he actually did do what they said he did. All evidence leads to him. I don't know what evidence they have, but that's, you know, what's being portrayed through the media. And then again, we know how the media works, so, you know, we don't want to have a rush to judgment. But again, to be a suspect in the murder of your baby's mother is not a good situation to be dealing with or being a part of. And so, and again, that's through the lack of whatever guidance that he received or didn't receive, is that you know, he should have made sure to make sure he got some counseling or whatever before he went to pull that trigger or do whatever, however he decided to take her out. So, you know, I just wanted to, you know, to just drop those bombshells on us before we dive into what we want to discuss tonight around some issues concerning Black Dollars Matter. And turn it back over to you, David.
Okay, yeah, thank you. By the way, gentlemen, I know we just passed the day, but happy Father's Day to all of you gentlemen. That's online.
Happy Father's Day.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You know, that was a popular topic, man, that, yeah, we need to raise our boys, man. And but, you know that old saying, it takes a village? Because sometimes,
yeah, take a village.
You know, sometimes you're going to pour your heart into a child, but that's no guarantee that they're going to follow your footsteps or your guidance, because they had so many other influences in life. You know, they have peer pressure, media, and all of these things that influence our children, school system, racism, and everything else. And now, even this day and time, we even have to have a conversation with our boys, just how to conduct themselves when they get approached by law enforcement. And I think it's a shame, but, you know, we have to protect our own. And because, like I said, a lot's going on, hangings going on, murder in the streets going on, and so, you know, we have to look out. Men have to step up, step in the gap where there are no fathers. Because this past weekend, I was online pretty much as usual, and there was a lot of people giving a lot of good shout-outs to the men.
Right.
Women, wives, and everything else. So, you know, it's a lot of good men, but, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of men missing in action as well. And so, you know, for those of us who have extended families, those of us who live in communities, sometimes we may just need to reach out every once in a while to the young guys, man, who need guidance. And before we get started, you know, in our conversation about local protesting and everything else, we have Mr. Bill Gooden online. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
What's
going on, Bill?
And so while we wait for our other guests, we're going to start with Bill. But, you know, again, men, we do have to step up. But, you know, getting on our subject matter, all across this country, people are demonstrating, marching in the streets, And the other night, I was watching TV, and they had, it was Saturday night, and y'all president had a little powwow, as I call it, and you know it was somewhat disappointing. But I did notice when his crowd was leaving the auditorium, and they ran into some other protesters from Black Lives Matter and whoever out there was demonstrating. And it almost came to a serious blow, but some kind of way they squelched it, and it didn't come to that. Some people wish that it had. They even had armed men out there turning around, assault weapons and everything else, wearing the red, put it that way. And so, you know, things is a powder keg. And somebody, you know, I'm so proud and so pleased that we have my brother Bill Gooden online for this night, because he's a senior citizen. Me and him ran the same. Me and him
are put him on blast.
Yeah, well, he knows. but he's been around for some time, demonstrating, protesting. Even before I met him, his reputation, you know, from before I met him, I knew of him because of the work that he was doing in the community, standing up, closing businesses down. And this is not ironic, but it's just like revolutionary that today, he's out there with doing the same thing again. After all of these years of all the things that he's been through in life, he's back on the front lines again because some things change and some things stay the same. And unfortunately, a lot of things has not changed. There's still racism taking place. There's still people using and abusing us. And there's, like I said, we were talking about local, and then we went for the gentleman from North Carolina to come on. But right here in Baltimore, yeah, the Black Lives Matter movements were going on, but there was another movement taking place at the same time. There's a local crab house in the Baltimore area who put out some real discouraging, ugly stuff about black people. And today, and for the last week or two, they've been protesting this place called Vince's Crab House. And they almost came to blows a couple of times, too. But what I'm saying, I'm going to let Bill tell you about it himself, but I never spent that much time on a computer watching one subject. I'm talking about, I've been watching this thing from the time Bill and them get there in the morning until late in the evening. I've been watching this demonstration and the interactions that's taking place with the police coming back and forth and changing the game, using all kind of tactics that seem like they against the protesters to the people who caused the problem. And I'm watching this in real time. This is the beauty about communication this day. You know, I can see somebody say he said or she said, but I'm witnessing this in the real time, the interaction with the police officers and the game changes and straight up stuff that like they had a truck sitting there in a no park zone, just sitting there all day long. And some of the protesters actually, you know, this is illegal. Sit there out there, and the police, all of them police sitting right there on the lot and did nothing. When questioning about it, they called the high command and they said they're not even going to enforce the law. Now, what kind of man, see, but you know, it was on the flip side, it was the game had changed. So it just brings to mind, like I say, something changed, something stayed the same. But the only thing change is going to take place is somebody has to make it change. It just ain't going to happen on its own. Somebody got to step up and step in. And with that being said, Bill Gooden, not only he's a co-owner and editor-in-chief of the National Black Unity News, he's an author. He's been around for a long time on the front lines dealing with this same subject matter. Like I say, some people marching, but Bill been out there marching for a long time. But Bill, welcome to the call, man. And look, I know this last couple of weeks, man, has been kind of life-altering for you as well, because, like I said, you back out there again, man, and I kind of set it up. But tell us what's going on in the Baltimore area with this Vincent Crab House.
Well, Dave, I think you pretty much already told people, but, you know, I pretty just much got on the line, man, just to kind of see what was happening with the other brother. But I'm going to just say, you know, first of all, good evening to everybody and thank you. You know, and like I've always told you, you know, I'm an activist, man, before anything and everything else. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm going to die being an activist. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because in my own heart and in my own belief, you know what I'm saying, I think all of us have something to try to do to make the world better. And I'm one of those people that think that, you know, if we don't do certain things, it'd be another 1,000 years before we ever catch up to other people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I always said, in my personal opinion, this system had to be totally dismantled and restarted in order to have fairness on the serious side. But in terms of the protest day, I was home one evening, man. And, you know, Larry Wallace is out there, you know, live, doing live with all these different events that's taking place. And I was home one Saturday, and I said, damn, man, they had about 300-400 people protesting Benson Crab House. So I said, let me get in my car and go and see what's happening. So I did. And basically, you know, the whole thing is that Vince Crab House, I think he got like 5 locations. But the whole thing is that 75% of his revenue comes from black people. And I don't know what made somebody decided to go to his social page, but I guess because there's so much other stuff happening, then somebody happened to go on his social page and saying some very disparaging remarks he'd been making about black people, such as in 2012, he made a remark that the guy that killed Trayvon Martin, he hoped would get off. You know, so it was that type of stuff. Then he said something in reference to, you know, these protesters won't go and loot and burn down the welfare offices, you know, making suggestions that black people's on welfare, so has to be, you know, so I mean, and so I guess it really blew up from there. You know, so like I said, it was like 300-400 people out there one Saturday. And from there, man, you know, people have made a commitment that they wanted to shut him down for good. So I don't eat crabs. I always tell people that. You know what I'm saying? Never have. I do not fool with crabs. But I supported the concept in terms of what people was fighting for, that, you know, we want to close him down because if he's striving by getting 75% of black dollars, then we need to make sure that we stop people from going there. And the truth is that, you know, it's easy for people to say, you know, because you have some people say, all we have to do is stop spending. That's true, but it ain't that easy, man. You know, there's a reason for protest. Protest brings awareness to the situation. You know what I'm saying? And without the protest, then you still have people going in there. So the protest is constant in terms of saying that we want to shut Vince down because of the racial remarks that him and his family members has put on social media. And I'm going to be honest, Dave, you know, I've been going practically every day, and people tell me that normally, man, his lot would be filled up. So I know for sure that we have impacted his business so far at least 70%. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's a real good sign when you only got 10, 15 consistent protesters that's going out there every day, you know, from the time he opened to the time he closed, right? But, you know, on the other point, like I keep telling people, this ain't about just Vince, man. You know what I mean? Listen, what we do to Vince is sending a message to all these other businesses that looking, that's profiting from the black community and ain't giving the black community no respect, right? You know, like today, Larry Young came out there, right? So he'll be talking about it on his show tomorrow. You know, so I'm saying, so for me, it would just, look, you know, it would just, you know, like I say, we can't be at all places and do all things. You know, so I tell people have to choose the fights that they're going to fight, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I agree with that particular fight. You know, if black people is giving that man 75% of his business and for him to disrespect us like that, then we need to let him know that, look, if you're going to disrespect us, then we're going to show you our power. You know, our power is that we will not spend our dollars there, and we will encourage white people who don't believe or who's sympathetic to racism and say that they don't support racism, then we simply tell them, white people, look, if you don't support racism, don't go to Vince. Because if you go to Vince, then you support racism. Because Vince is racist, right? So, I mean, that's the whole message, right? And so, you know, again, that's why I'm there every day. Because I feel that, you know, like I've told you, as long as I've been on you, Dave, you know, my hand to God, man, look. When I leave here, I only want people to know that I lived here and that I made some kind of difference. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In terms of no matter how small, how large, the people are going to have to decide that. But when we don't do nothing, then we don't make no difference. You know what I'm saying? There's something for all of us to do. I don't care if it's in the educational institution or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if we're saying that we want fairness, we want equality, then, you know, Frederick Douglass said it best years ago. And Frederick Douglass said, you know, power concedes to only power. It never has and it never will. You know what I'm saying? So you ain't got no kind of power to force change. Then you do not get change. Well, all the things happening right now in reference to the death of George Floyd, and look at it, man. I mean, listen. You know, all of us could just be honest with ourselves. Is it not a shame that you had these police killers, guy? But if you didn't have the world to stand up and start protesting, do we really think that we're locked out for a policeman up? Absolutely not.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, the guy that just shot this guy in the back in Atlanta, the police got locked up. Why? Because the protest and stuff is so large, man. I tell people all the time, look, I was down at City Hall about 3 weeks ago. They had all these people block the streets, took over the street on Gay Street, right there by City Hall and the police department, and wrote in the middle of the street, defund the police department. Police didn't do nothing. But that's because you had a couple thousand people on there. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the power of people, man. You know what I mean? The power of people all across the country right now, they're talking about defunding the police. Let's shift some money from the police to put in some of these other programs. We need to... We need to start trying to address some of these issues, this systematic racism. Man, people been on this systematic racism. Ain't nothing new. You know what I'm saying? But look what had to happen for people to start addressing it. And now, on the flip side, just think this. Once people say, okay, we made a point, then people go back in, then what's going to happen? You're going to get some changes, but you're never going to get the changes that you wanted because you don't stay out on the street. So the only way to really get the real changes, if it's with Vince or whatever, is that we had to be consistent in terms of what we're trying to do. And if the goal is to shut something down, we had to be consistent until we shut them down. You know what I'm saying? And then other people are going to be paying attention to the power of the people because you achieved the goal that you set out to do. You know, so that's why I'm out there with the protesters of Vince. I don't live in Middle River. I don't eat crabs. You know what I'm saying? But it's worth being out there because I support the issue.
And guess what else? Hey, Bill, I hear echo. But in any case, is this. As I said before, I was witnessing Kabil, a guy named Ricky Vaughn, and a guy named Larry Wilson live streaming the protest. And that's how I'm able to watch it. I'm not there, but what I do, I share it from my end so other people see what's going on. But to my mind, they went there for one reason, to shut this guy down. But then they uncovered some other things that happened there as well. Even this morning, I watched, when I first got up this morning, early in the morning, one of the young ladies who was one of the protesters went to court to make a complaint. And they was in the, I forgot what that place was called. It was a courthouse, though. And the bailiff came to the door and wouldn't let the other people in.
Right.
And then he also said, I was watching there because Larry was live streaming it. And the young lady, one of the young ladies was out there. She was highly upset, so she went to the police office. And the police officer didn't, but he was very cold-hearted to her. And then Larry, he was trying to tell the police, look, we live streaming it. And the bailiff came to the door talking about these people And you know that's derogatory when you say, you know, when it comes from them like that and the way he said it. And this is our courthouse, supposed to be we the people and all of this kind of stuff. And he treated us, I'm not saying them, treated us very bad. I witnessed that. And like I said, I've been watching this thing all day long, even though they went there for Vince, but they uncovered something else while people marching in the streets now. The police. The police has been atrocious through this whole thing here. Every time I watch, every day, like I say, it was a different story. Bill, can you elaborate on how the police react from Vince's to y'all, to the protesters, to the protestee? What's your take on how the police?
It's a different situation. And again, you know, I think that you said it best, you know, but like I say, you know, sometimes, man, people just have to be there to see for themselves to know. Because like I say, when this thing first happened, you had 300 or 400 people. All on Vince's side, everything, man. Vince called himself, he shut down for 9 days. I guess that was his way of trying to appease the people that we'll shut down for 9 days, but that's not what the people wanted. The people wanted him to shut down permanently. So after 9 days, he reopened. We went there protesting, you know, but then a couple days later, the police come and say, well, okay. Then they start trying to hand us a piece of paper saying that the owner don't want us on the lot, so we have to move off the lot. Okay, so we move off the lot, and we right there on the grass area, but not on the lot. But then they wanted us to get on the sidewalk. So it's like, you know, they constantly trying to push us farther back. And we saying, well, damn, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's totally crazy because, I mean, you know, you got police there. You got police there from the time that guy opened to the time he closed. You only got 10, 12 protesters, and you got 8 police cars there. Absolutely don't make no sense. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, again, that just goes to show the power of a business guy that in a white business guy, you know what I'm saying, that happened to have influence because he's influencing the behavior of the police, you know what I'm saying, in terms of their position on us. So, I mean, you know, but I think all them things, man, just kind of adding to the fuel, you know, because when people feel that the police is mistreating them, and like I told the police, you know, I mean, look, you know, even when you have police say, look, we're not racist, you know, we ain't on no sides. Hey, listen, I tell people this all the time. I tell people, never take my word, man, because I can prove everything I say. Even when I talk about guns, I can prove everything I say. You know, I tell people, hey, you go to any courtroom in the state of Maryland, and I guarantee you, I don't care what county it is, if it's 100% white or 99% white, and you go to traffic court, I guarantee you, you know who's going to be in traffic court the most? Black people. Because that's how they make their revenue. Now, you don't even live in the county. You just happen to be passing through. But they stop more black people and take you to traffic court in terms of getting revenue than white people. You see what I'm saying? And that's a fact, and people can prove that. Go to any courtroom, man, you'll see it for yourself, right? You know, so, you know, even when people say they ain't racist, then sometimes you don't think that you're racist, but you're supporting a racist institution once you put that uniform on, because that uniform going to have you stopping more black folks than white folks. You know what I'm saying? Uniform going to have you giving more black people tickets than white people. You know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
I mean, it's just an ugly mess, man. And, you know, and I guess that, I mean, you know, because all these other issues, look, all the issues that we got in this country, why do you think the movement is about the police department? And listen, the police do kill black people. But listen, and honestly, the movement really should be about the education institution in terms of how it's failing us. You know what I'm saying? But it's a different mindset seeing yourself getting killed by people that's supposed to be protecting you, then getting into the educational institution that's failing us at a massive rate that's preparing us for incarceration at early age. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the system is just totally broken, man. You know what I'm saying? And people have to be able to make the connection in terms of how everything is connected together to bring us to the point where we at.
And you know what, Bill, just think about these police. I was just thinking as you was talking you know why most of the police are killing these black guys, just like this last guy who got killed running away, and they shot him in the back. And the first they say it took about 45 minutes before that even took place. Why in the world you going to hold this man all of this time, messing with him all of this time, to get to the point of frustration, and then you know, one thing leads to another. And it never brought me to mind with what was taking place at Vince's lot. Because every day, y'all was out there protesting, and y'all were trying to stay within the law, trying to be peaceful and everything else. But these police officers, not only what I seen, I saw it too. The man put crabs in one of the police cars. You know, so they beating them, but the police constantly running in and out of Vince's place. There, some of the protesters even called the police. The first thing the police do, come they run into Vince's place first. Well, they even with, you know, go to the complainer. Not only that, one of the people attacked one of the made an attempt to attack one of the protesters, and that's why the young lady had to go to court this morning. One of the family members bumped into another young lady. A little confrontation took place, and had a black officer there, and a little confrontation. So she made a complaint. Oh, officer, you should do something about this. And the police said, well, he couldn't do this and do that and do this and everything. But and then he took the young lady's telephone. I mean, took her address down. This young lady said she don't give out her information to nobody, where she lives, this, that. But that night, she comes home. The next morning, she comes home. Her window busted out. They busted the windows out. So this police officer had to give it to the family member, so the family member knew where she lived and everything. And because she's out there posting, so they retaliated. And things like this. And not only that, like I say, the other day, they had a truck sitting there in a no-park zone. Folks all over the place. Not one of them. And guess what the truck had on it? Vincent's Crab House.
Right.
Not one of them. And the first system, since they were probably upholding the law, so they kept spouting out about law and how we supposed to uphold the law. But yet, they're clearly breaking the law, and they did nothing. And said they're not even going to enforce the law because it belongs to Vincent. So who are they protecting? They say, but yet they kept running to the protest and talking about we equal, we mediators, we gonna teach our, and then make matters worse than the other day too. Family members got so bold, they even came up where the protesters were, talking a whole lot of junk. And of course the protesters ain't gonna sit back there and take it, you know, they talk a whole lot of stuff. But I guarantee you, if the protesters had went over the other side and confronted them, them police would have reacted totally different. Matter of fact, they would have locked the protesters up.
Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. And look, it's 8:03, so, you know, I certainly want other people to have an opportunity to engage in the conversation. But that's what I'm saying. And I don't want to move from the protest because, I mean, that's the reference point. But, you know, and that's what I'm saying. People have to connect things, man. And I guarantee you, I don't bet my life that Vince is a supporter of Donald Trump. Guarantee you. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, see, you know, people don't want to lay blame on Donald Trump because of the position he got. You know, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how you can have somebody in that position that can preach hate, division, violence, and there's nothing that you could do to that man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you have that kind of position and you're the leader of the country, then all them other people that kind of had them same kind of feelings and ideas you have, then you only embolden racism. And I'm saying that's what we had in this big country. Donald Trump have allowed people with that type of behavior to feel emboldened. You know what I'm saying? And it's spilling out into the streets all across this here country. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, what's happening at Vince is, like I say, just one example. And that's why I say, you know, for me, with black people, is that, you know, we have to use every tool that we have, man, to fight. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if it's in the media. You know, if you happen to be a black person, you got a little bit of money, you know what I'm saying? And you had to be supporting people that's fighting. You had to be supporting institutions that were black people is. You know what I'm saying? Because this is all our fight. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you know, if we had that selfish attitude, then listen. Like you said, when you came on, you said, I'm a senior citizen. But the reality is that at this point, look, I don't know how much longer I got to live. You know what I'm saying? So I'm okay as long as I get eat and pay my bills. But it ain't about me, man. You know what I'm saying? Ain't about you. It's about what we can do. So if it is a future world, because we don't know where the world is going to. I mean, we're in times, man, that's unbelievable. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if people want to talk about religious books or the Bible, if people want to talk about history, then all these times is predicted to come. You know what I'm saying? So we had a crossroad that we have never seen before. And things is changing rapidly. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know what's going to happen. But what we do know is this. If we're alive, if it's going to be future generations, then we got an obligation to try to make sure that we help to create a pathway that their future is better than what it is now. Even when we're talking about all these brothers out here killing each other. Well, why is that, man? You know what I'm saying? Because of a system that has totally failed you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's miseducating you. You know what I'm saying? You're not represented politically. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't see yourself having no real value. You know what I'm saying? You know, your value is caught up out in the streets. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you get your little drugs, you get your little women. You know what I'm saying? And that's your manhood. You know what I'm saying? Your manhood is like, I'm not going to let this nigga call me no name. You know what I'm saying? Because, hey, nah, man, that bitch called me a fucking faggot, man. Nah, you know what I'm saying? So now you had to prove something, you know what I'm saying, to other people that you deal with that you ain't going to let that happen to you. So, I mean, a lot of these murders, man, are just about crazy stuff. Ain't about nothing, right? But it's about a system that's constantly failing us, man. So we had to be able to somehow fix this system to change the behavior of our people. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said when you started off, you know, I mean, look, there ain't no secret. Like I said, I got two sons. And, you know, when I was raising my son as a single parent, I swear, man, for me, I'm raising a Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. But both of my sons end up going to prison. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's not on the parent. You know, it's not like they didn't have or they didn't know. But unfortunately, then my influence just wasn't as strong as the influence that was out there in the streets for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's a reality. And, you know, so sometimes, man, you know, people may not understand it, but, you know, you need to be able to, you know, you had to look at things from more than just one angle. You know, yeah, some people, man, they may have children and their children did okay. Their children went to college and didn't get in no trouble. But, hey, your children is not the measurement for our children. Just like my children are the measurement for our children. You know what I'm saying? We got a screwed up system that's totally broken and in need of real repair. And the good thing is this. When we talk about in need of real repair, Dave, you know what the good thing is?
What's that?
Is that everybody's talking about it now. All the politicians talking about it. You know what I'm saying? All these rich folks talking about it. So we ain't been that damn wrong. We've been right all the damn time. You see what I'm saying? But now they want to admit it because you got millions of people all around the world, man, not just here in America, but all around the world saying this is bullshit. We taking statues down of these white folks and everything else. So now people coming out and say, y'all been right all the time. We need to find a way to try to repair some of this stuff. And that's it, man.
You know what?
You're right on point there, Bill.
Because
the thing is, this is Tyler speaking, the thing is that
a lot of things that people are bringing to light now has been said. You know, back in the day, the National Black Political Assembly, we said that the American Constitution needed to be rewritten because America does not serve the interests of the masses of people and black people in particular. And that they needed to do it with the Electoral College. And we saw with the last election, yeah, Hillary won the vote, but Trump got in because of this thing called the Electoral College. And so, you know, and I'm pretty sure, like you said, the guy Vince, he probably is a Trump supporter because Trump has fueled the mindset of people.
So, explain the difference between the two. The electoral and the college, if you can.
The electoral college, what they do is you have different states. Each state has so many electoral votes. And so the thing is, with each state, you have the state legislator, they appoint different people to be part of their, they call it electoral college, as far as being able to decide who gets their state's electoral votes. And so you could win the popular vote, but if you don't get the electoral votes, then you don't necessarily win that state, even though you won the state in the popular vote count, but you didn't win the state with the electoral vote count. So, you know, you could end up with, as we saw the last time, person won the popular vote across the country, but they didn't have the enough electoral votes, which meant they were key states, gave their electoral votes to Trump. So that's how he ended up becoming president. But again, going back to when Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York.
Hold up, just on that point, Tyree, because you're doing such a good job, man. I appreciate it. Because it's only 500 and something electoral votes. I mean, you got 500 and something people that decide the elections.
Right. And so that's where the real power is. You know, the real power is in electoral votes, and that, you know, what we need to be concentrating on is who in each state gets to cast their electoral ballot for the upcoming president. And so then we can put leverage on those people. But the thing is, we need to abolish the system. That's what we really need to do, because other than that, you know, then we're trying to play catch up in a race that we can't win, because they started off 50 yards ahead of us in a 100-yard dash. And so, you know, you never can win like that. But the other point I was going to make about Trump is that when Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York, the police used to have a saying, "It's Giuliani time." And that's when they, you know, because they had this stop and frisk that they was doing in New York. That's when they came up with the big stop and frisk thing. But when the brother had was taken to the police station, and the police sodomized him with the with the plunger. Part of their chant was, "It's Giuliani time," and so that meant that, you know, hey, it's like mob rule, you know. And so when you have mob rule with police departments, then you can have these kind of things happen. And you know, I thought Dave Chappelle did a real good thing with 864. And, you know, he called out Don Lemon. He said that the streets are speaking. And when the streets are speaking, celebrities need to take a back seat, even though he did, you know, he did his piece. But he said, you know, he'd always talked about what was going on in terms of the police and what, you know, and how they was handling things, and that it wasn't a time for celebrities to speak, even though people wanted to hear from the celebrities. You know, his challenge to Don Lemon was, the streets are speaking, and the celebrities got to take a back seat to the streets and follow what the streets are doing. And as he said, all around the world, people are outraged, you know, and they're saying, what kind of chump game, you know, y'all letting America run on y'all? You know, so people are taking a look at us as African Americans in this country. And, you know, and as I said in an article I had coming out in the latest edition of the paper, is that, you know, we need to be able to kind of consensus amongst ourselves. And to me, I think the best consensus is what Marcus Garvey had: one God, one aim, one destiny. And that if we can focus on that, then we can, you know, we can stop the divisions in our community that divide us from being able to be on one accord, because the bottom line is you're never going to get absolute unity amongst black people. But if we can have unity without uniformity, and that's something that, you know, that we had talked about in the 60s and tried to get people to deal with when we were putting together a national black agenda, and we were putting together a national black agenda with unity without uniformity. And, you know, and that was one of the things that came out of the national black political conventions that we were having through the National Black Political Assembly. And so, you know, we did make some headway into that. We ultimately ended up
with the National Black Political Party coming out of the work the assembly did, but that dismantled. And the thing is, the most important thing right now is maintaining the consistency in our movement so that things do not die down. And I think the good thing about what's going on is that it's not leader-based, but movement-based, street-based. And so there's a greater potential for it not to die down when, you know, the different leaders disappear or gone. Al Sharpton said at the George Floyd funeral is that the movement is happening, and they're not trying. He wasn't trying to claim to be the head of the movement or anything like that. Is that it's a movement that's going on, and yeah, we definitely need to provide. You know, us old heads need to provide some type of leadership to the young heads that's out there. But again, it's their energy that we need to build upon. So, you know, some comments I just wanted to make as we move forward in this dialogue. I don't know what happened to Nehemiah, but they have a down in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, they have a seafood place that's run by this Asian family. And, you know, they've been doing bad, treating their customers bad. But it finally reached a head over last weekend when he called a woman. She reported on him. You know, she called a woman out of her name. He called her a B. He made a 13-year-old girl cry. I don't know what he did to make her cry. But, you know, people have been, when I was there, we know we was trying to get them shut down. And so they have, and if you go to Nehemiah Smith's Facebook page, you can see the live feed that he's been doing over the past several days of them being out there. What he did, he went and they purchased some fish, and they've been giving them out free fish on the parking lot. Let people know you don't need to get fish from there. We got free fish for you, and also been frying fish with people on their parking lot. So ultimately, I don't know what's going to happen with all of that, but I do know that the Rocky Mount police are not as vicious as other police departments. So I don't think that they'll run into a confrontation with the police, and especially since the store owner is Asian and not white. But, you know, so that's what's going on down there in terms of them protesting. The thing is, with all of this Black Dollar Matters thing, is how do we put enough pressure on these places to let them know that we're not bringing you our money, and, you know, we're going to shut you down. So, and that's one of the things I thought that was good about wanting to have him on here tonight also, was because the two things that are in common is that both of these places receive their revenue from majority of Black people. And I know personally, in terms of Rocky Mount, that 80 to 90% of the people that shop at that particular fish market are Black. And, you know, the treatment that he'd be giving people is horrendous. And, you know, I was trying to work on some stuff before I left to deal with shut them down. But I thought the common thread was this whole thing of not just protesting, you know, what they've done, but bringing to the point of how to tie all of this together through the Black Dollars Matter movement of shutting them down. And then the other thing is not just shutting them down, but replacing them with some businesses that can cater to those particular Black dollars, and then not only cater to those Black dollars, but do something for the community. Because we need to make sure that we elevate and push forward our community in terms of community economic development. So keep up the work, Bill, and hey, I wish y'all the much success, man.
All right. Brother Hector, you got anything you want to chime in on?
I was just listening to everybody, and some very good information that was being said. I was sitting here thinking about all of the protesting that's going on, thinking about protesting, all the killing that's going on. I'm thinking about what are the children thinking about all this as they look at TV and they hear all this stuff. that's one of the things that kind of touched me, that, you know, that kind of hits home for me. You know, what are the children thinking about? What's going on in their mind when black children see police officers killing online? And, you know, that's my thing, because eventually the kids are going to come and ask the parents these important questions. And as parents, what are we going to tell our children? I know that's a big gulp, you know, to swallow. But we got to be prepared to ask, to answer these questions, okay, because it's real. These children have probably never experienced this before up until now. And somebody's going to have to answer to that. Somebody's going to have to really talk to our children. We got to really sit down and really think about these things. Like Bill Gooden said, I like what you're doing, sir. You're going out there and you're part of the change, you know, and that's very important. I know people talk about it. Talk is cheap. You can get it on any corner. Nowadays, it's free. But you're out there doing something about it. And everybody on this radio show, on podcast, we're doing something about it, because we're giving information out to the people that want to hear, because they want to make a change. And it starts with us. It starts with us. We see what's going on. The question is, are we going to sit around and just continue to look at what's going on? Or are we going to play our part? It doesn't have to be big or small, but whatever you do, you got to ask yourself the question. How are we going to answer this to our children? And that's the big question. What do you guys think about that?
Let me say this real quick. Cause when you said children, they just had on a couple of news. They've been on for the last couple of days, 3 or 4 days, been nationally known, showing black children. They had one little girl crying because she's scared of the police. They had one little woman playing in the yard when the police car went down the street. He ran, hid behind the car. You know, and so, you know, it has a psychological damage betrayed to our children. But getting back to our subject, madam, guess what else? See, what I noticed in the protest and here in Vincent over there, see, they had Children's Day as well. You know, and these children see it in real time. They see the frustration of the adult. They see the interaction from the police department. They also see how the people from Vincent, how they act and stuff like this. So these children are getting a real education, a real frontline education of real time and real life of what's taking place. And so, and they know now, those children out there know now that things are not fair. They know now that, you know, you can't always rely on no police, too. They know now that they have to take matters in their own hands sometimes, you know, in a peaceful way. So they lead by demonstration. And, of course, Bill said something early on the same note. And you said, I think Satavi said it. They had a couple of protesters out there. They were getting angry, and they were saying some, you know, real, you know, they was cussing up a storm. But some of the elders said, no, this is not the way to do it. You know, they were trying to, you know, at least try to keep them in check. You know, because, like I said, that's how things get out of hand, because it's not saying it's the protesters' fault. But, you know, the way I was looking at it, they were being provoked. And you can't keep pushing the person. Ricky Vaughn kept saying you can't keep on pushing until you're going to get some pushback. And so, you know, like I say, man, you know, I'm watching this now. I'm going to go back to Bill, but I'm just going to say this. I've never been one in all my 67, 68, be 69 in another month. I've never been heavily into politics, and two of my comrades, and three of us on this line right now had the same mentor, a guy named Robbie Clay. Satavi, Bill Gooden, and I, we all had a great deal of respect for this man. But he told me one day, he said, politics even regulate the air we breathe. And that made sense to me. This time right here, I am 69, just by watching this demonstration and protesting, taught me something. Because I've never been one to go out there and protest. I fought in my own type of ways. But watching this thing in real time changed my tune about that as well. I've seen it's very effective. And the second thing is, I see what we're up against. I see how the establishment, how they do. Not only how the police department protects them, not so much the police, you know, the ones who are the victims, but at the same time, I watched in real time, every day, these police are supposed to be law providers, change the game every day, not for the benefit of the protesters, but for the benefit of the one who caused the problem. I started this morning the court system. And the people trying to do the right thing, follow the letter of the law, as they say, is still being mistreated. Man, this is a hell of a thing we're in, man. You know, and so Bill, again, man, I appreciate you, man, because like I say, man, until this week, I say everybody had their place. Like I say, we're just like a nation, man. You know, that's why the United States, the Air Force, the Army, and the Marine, the National Guard, Intelligence Agency. You know, all of us got our roles to play.
But this
is a big role. Yeah, that's Navy too. Yeah. But you know, it takes all of these entities to make a defense or offense. And like I said, we need protesters, we need media, we need intelligence. Like I said, Ricky Ron came out there, and I'm proud of my young brother because these police are coming up with all these law texts. Well, this is the law, but Ricky was well versed in that, and he just spit and come to find out. These police were talking about supposed to be law enforcement, didn't even know what act like they didn't know the law. Because everything they was spouting out, they even stopped my brother Bill, asked him for his identification. Now, the average person would, if they wasn't watching, now, see, they could have took Bill back there and said, he wasn't complying to my orders and called a whole lot of junk. Even though Bill may have been in his right, said, I don't have to give you my, Bill told me, I'm damn near 70 years old. I got to give you my identification, but if you didn't know, you'd have been giving up just like the young lady did. She got repercussions done to her because of that. But Bill in closing, man, time went past so fast. But Bill in closing, again, I'm just from your spread, because like I said, I watch you in real time. I watch you, Rick, and Larry in real time. But you and Ricky Vaughn, it was real dramatic because y'all kind of controlled the narrative, not only from the protesters, but y'all the ones confronted the police, and the police confronted y'all, and y'all had some real conversation with these police officers. Can you share a little bit about the way your interaction with I'm just talking about the police, because they say clearly to me, from my perspective, they protected this. So what's your take on that?
Well, I want to just say two things, Dave. And again, thank you. But I just need to say this in closing and answering that. Because, you know, what Satari said is absolutely true. And I continue to say the same thing, man. You know, everything had to be dismantled. The Constitution had to be redone. And then what a brother Hector just said in terms of what do you tell the children, man, I never will forget, man. 45, 50 years ago, a guy told me, he said, who do you think gonna win when you got people throwing bottles against tanks? And that was a hell of a thing,
right,
man. I mean, I was a young man. You know, I said, wow, man, that's heavy. You know what I'm saying? You got these African brothers and sisters fighting the army, and they throwing little bottles and stuff, and they got big tanks. You know what I'm saying? But the consistency of the people is going to win the war. You know what I'm saying? And that's where we at. So, you know what I mean? In terms of the message to our younger brothers and sisters, it's an education for them. And parents have to be honest with them. You know what I'm saying? In terms that we fighting because we have never been equal in this country and need some other consequences. I mean, that's the truth. But then in terms of the police, like I say, man, people need to do the best they can to try to learn what laws that you live up under. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, you know, when the police asked me for my ID, because I was on a lot, I was by myself, so I complied. I'm going to remove myself off the lot. But once I get to the sidewalk, I'm not giving you my damn ID. ID for what? I ain't committed no crime. I haven't done nothing, so you don't need my ID. So I just think the main thing, man, is that people need to halfway just know what your rights are. Once you know what your rights are, then you can challenge their rights because you hadn't done nothing wrong. And I think that's what most of us just need to try to at least guide ourselves on. So when we do have bad interactions, then even if something go wrong, then it's gonna go wrong, but you still was gonna be right. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't stop another person from doing wrong to you, even when you're right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, so it's like George Floyd, for instance. You know what I'm saying? Hell, If you complain and they didn't lock you up and got handcuffs on you, you laying down, you can't stop them from putting that damn knee in your neck. But you done everything that you done in terms of complying with the law. You know what I'm saying? And staying in your God frame of the law. You know what I'm saying? So some things just take another turn. You know, so we just need to know what we can do and can't do. And I'm going to close with this, Dave, so everybody can get a call. I always pray to God for this, man. Now, number one, I pray to God that I can make a difference during my lifetime. And I just don't want to be scared to try to make change, because fear stops good people from making proper change. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be one of those people.
That's true.
That's true.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right,
Brandon.
I keep getting this echo. Brandon, do you want to say anything in closing? Live, but Brandon's on board with us too. Brother Hector, in closing, anything?
Yes, fear is another disease that is something that we need to look at and get the vaccine together. And the vaccine is knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. Like Bill Gooden said, we have to know our laws. We have to know our laws so that way we know how to defend ourselves. The law is for the lawless. So as long as we know what we're supposed to do, officers going to know what they're supposed to do, because we know how to govern ourselves. We can exercise our knowledge of the laws, and not just with laws, period, but if we exercise knowledge in all aspects of our life, a lot of things, it wouldn't be a surprise, because this has been going on generation after generation. It's just a new form of racism, a new form, a new way to infiltrate us. However, we gotta stand up and just make, again, I say this all the time, make each other accountable, encourage one another to just look at it from a different perspective, you know. And not everybody's bad, and not everybody's out here doing wrong. But for those of you who are doing something, do something that's going to make a difference, that's going to change the outcome and make a positive one. I ain't saying going out there and doing nothing crazy. There's ways of doing things without hurting people, but we got to mean business. And I encourage everybody to, you know, educate yourself. That's the best thing you can do, is educate yourself so you know how to handle a situation. And with that, like I say all the time, is iron sharp as iron, so does a friend sharpen a friend. It's Andre Hector, radio personality, motivational speaker. God bless you all.
Yeah, Brother Satavi, in closing.
Yes, sir. In closing, I would say that one of the things we need to revisit is Malcolm X was working on taking America before the United Nations for human rights violations. And, you know, I think that's an agenda that we need to really look at. How do we push that since we have the world stage again? Is that it's more than our civil rights. It's about our human rights, and that our human rights are being violated. And I think we can get a lot of ground wave with that, and people can begin to see us, that we're not being treated as human beings. And that if we have our human rights, then we don't need civil rights.
Okay, thank you, brother. In closing, I'm going to say this. First of all, thank each and every one of you for your comments. It was a powerful dialogue. But in closing, let me just say this from my perspective. We're up against a hell of a force. Not just white folks. I'm talking about evil. People, you know, just have all kinds of crazy stuff going on in their heads. Some people actually believe they are better than others. But since we got these people, then we had the thing called greed, privilege, and all of these forces that we up against. And since we up against all of these type of forces, so we have to be strategic in the way we approach enemies or those forces. You know, like I say, protesting has its place. And it's necessary, because it brings attention to whatever the problem may be. But we also know we got a group of brothers around here who have a lot of intelligence about what people do, why they do it, and how they do it. We need to understand that as well. Bill mentioned also we need to know some levels of the law, because law is a weapon that they can use against you, but you can take the same law and use it for you. But then also, again, like I said, strategically, because, like I say, when you're up against a force such as evil, hate, discrimination, and racism, and all these things, man, you have to be strategic. Just like Brother Bill just said, you know, when they got tanks and stuff, you throwing bottles. But you got to stay consistent. And like I said, you can't have fear if you're going up against a tank with a bottle. But then again, strategically, you took that same bottle, put a little bit of gasoline in it, and put a little powder, you know, you can make that bottle a little bit more powerful. But at the same time, you have to know your enemy, know what you're up against, and you have to strategically, because it took strategics for them brothers to come together and go in front of Vince. It took knowledge to know the law, because like I say, the police were pushing back even though they was wrong. But because some of the brothers knew some of the law, they was able to push back and stand their grounds. I even watched in real time how these police sit up there and start making excuses. Well, they don't know the law. Well, I'm going to have to go back and check. I'm going to have to do these things and do this thing. If they would have never questioned, they would have been, like you say, they might end up down the next block somewhere if you didn't know. So all I'm saying to this gentleman in closing is, you know, like I say, it's a time for this. It's a time for that. We have to be very strategic in the way we do things. And I think we all need, all of our forces need to come together, because there's more ways to win the battle. You know, like I say, some brothers on the front line, some people need to be behind the scenes. While some people behind the scenes, we need our other media. We need lawyers. We need all kinds of things that's going to represent it. Because like I say, I witnessed the courthouse today that wasn't treated fair. I witnessed the front lines that wasn't being treated fair. But I did know one thing, though. We had our babies out there. One thing I did know was this, that people was coming up, bringing the protesters water, food, signs. I did notice this from the outside looking in. I did read all, because like I said, I posted stuff on there. I did read stuff that people were saying all around the country about this thing right here having in Vincent. They had some people that was very negative. They was on Vincent's side. Go ahead, Bill.
Domino's is in that same strip where Vincent's at. Domino's is like two doors down, man. And for the last couple of days, Domino's been bringing us pizza.
See, you know, so you know, like I say, that's what I'm saying, man. You know, but see, just like you say, people marching, got white folks and every other color marching in the streets together. But at the same time, like I say, but again, action. It took action to get those type of responses. And Bill said, power only concedes the power. And we have power. We have to use it strategically, but we have to do something. Thank y'all. And, man, I'm going to say good night to everybody, man. And keep up the good fight, man, until the victory is won. Good night.
Hi, everybody.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Y'all take care now.
All right, Dave.
Uh-huh. Goodbye.
Close out with our theme song, It's My Time. And let me pull that up. Technical difficulties, but I see I should be able to pull it up in a second here. Here we go. My destiny.
Good night, and join us again next week for another edition of the National Black Unity News Podcast. Hope you enjoyed this program, and you can leave your comments here on the Blog Talk Radio website. Thank you, and have a great day.